Yes, this is a famous story, and it is nearly always called what? The parable of the prodigal son. Though, that is not what Jesus called this parable. Actually, when Jesus began the story, he said, a man had two sons. Yes, Jesus meant this story to speak to both groups of people, a group of people who would be more sympathetic to the younger brother in this story, and a group of people who would find themselves in the place of the elder brother in their own community. Again, I understand that most times our concentration in this story is culminated at its middle, where the younger brother returns and his father welcomes him back. By then, it's already feels it's a complete story. And there, the hearer's eyes would well out with the tears. That way, it's kind of a sentimental story. However, if we think it is all about this story, then we make a great mistake. That is only act one. And act two follows with the story of how the elder brother responds to his brother's welcoming, his father's welcoming of the younger brother. We see the elder brother's rage and fury. Perhaps it was the response of one group in Jesus' audience when he said this parable to the crowd. Yes, let's talk about the setting of this parable. The Pharisees and the religious scholars were murmuring and complaining about Jesus. Why? Because, in their words, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Yes, they are pointing fingers at Jesus and those gathering around to hear Jesus. And they call them sinners. Now you know the two kinds of people corresponding to the brothers in this story. First, tax collectors and sinners. Unlike the younger brother, they have engaged in immoral, irreligious, and wild living. They have left the traditional morality of their families. As they would say, okay, I have nothing to do with what you parents have been believing and holding dearly. With that being said, who do you see as a younger brother around you or in you? On the other hand, there are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They are like the elder brother. They have stayed with the traditional morality of their upbringing. They are deeply devoted to obeying the law of God. They worship and pray constantly. Again, now bringing this story back to your life, who you think thinks like and lives like the elder brother? Again, this is a parable, which means that Jesus says this to invite you and me to insert ourselves inside the story. So please be in that attitude as we now talk about the two brothers a bit more. But for full disclosure, Tim Keller's book titled The Prodigal God was made a reference for this sermon. And I'd like to use his words more directly later in the sermon. First, the younger brother, he comes to the father and says, give me my share of the estate. Tim Keller says the original listeners of this story must be amazed at such a request. It's only when father dies that a son would take his share of inheritance and separate. One more piece of information is that in those days, the oldest son always got double a portion of what every other child would get. Again, this would only happen when the father dies. So when the younger brother comes and says, give me my portion now. It's basically to say to the father, I want your wealth, not you. I don't care as much about my relationship with you as my independence. As a parent, as an elder of our society, how would you respond here? An ancient Middle East father would have been expected to have driven the boy out of the house and with nothing but physical blows. But this is not what this father did. Instead, he divided his property between the two sons. But it was like a wiring money from the father's saving account to the son's bank account. It was not like a selling stock, okay, let's cash it and give that money next day. No. The wealth of this father would have primarily been in real estate and livestock. So to get one third of his wealth for the younger son, the father would have had to sell a great deal of his land and perhaps even reduce the number of his servants. Tim Keller says, in those days, to lose part of your land was to lose part of yourself and a major share of your standing in the community. In fact, this younger brother is asking his father to tear his life apart. And the father does so for the love of his son. The father is a prodigal. You hear me right. I use the adjective prodigal to describe the father. As I introduced earlier, Tim Keller, by the way, the Keller is the pastor of Redeemer Church in Manhattan, New York City. He started the church in 1989, and Newsweek magazine called him a C.S. Lewis for the 21st century. And Keller has chosen to name the book The Prodigal God, and he explained this by offering the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of the word prodigal. Number one, recklessly extravagant, as we can put this on the slide. And number two, having spent everything. That is the meaning of prodigal. Now, seen in this light, it's already clear, even with the story of the first scene of this here, the most lavish character in the story is the father himself. His prodigal character continues to be displayed throughout the story. We'll see. We go back to the younger brother. He goes off and squanders everything that he has been given. And when he has wasted everything, when he has nothing but disappointment, resentment, along with the starvations, when he is literally down in the mud, what can he do next? He could give up on himself. He could throw himself to the pit alone in despair forever. No, that's not what he did. He decided to go home. Home, yes, is a place. But more than that, it's a community and a relationship in which we find our true self. Like the younger brother in this parable, you might have wanted to live without God's interference. And so you might have turned away and have become alienated from God. And is it a sure and promised way for us to realize our hopes and dreams? The moments come, at least speaking of myself, the moments comes when we realize, when I realize that following my heart and desire does not lead me to my true home. But good news is here. It is that like the father in this story, full of compassion, ran and opened to put his arms around the son and welcome him Our God continues to go out to each of us to urge us to come and find our true home with God. This is the message of this parable, isn't it? Again, even when we run far away, or when we feel we are not worthy because of what we have done, our God is a prodigal God in loving us and welcoming us. And each act one and act two is about another character who is representing the other group of audiences when Jesus first said this. To them, from now on, it's not a sentimental message. They must have felt offended. Let me say why. The father throws a feast to celebrate the return of the youngest son. Here appears the elder brother to the scene. He was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard the joyful music and dancing. His servant reported to him, "Sir, your brother has come. He is now back home, and your father has killed the fat calf because he has the son back safe." How did the elder brother respond here? He was furious. He was so angry that he refused to go in and join the feast. This caused breaking the heart of the father. And it forced the father to come out and plead with the eldest son. But he won't come. He is aggressive to the father. He says, look, notice he doesn't call him father. Look. For all these years, I have been good. I have never disobeyed you. But you have never given me even a young goat to celebrate a party with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property, came back, you killed a fatty calf for him? By the way, notice he doesn't say my brother, right? He says, this son of yours. He refused to join his father for the feast. Actually, by not going in, he was saying, hey, I will not be the same family with him. Father, you now choose between him and me. Of course, we can imagine how lavish that feast must be with a fat calf. Such an expensive gourmet feast food. Probably the entire village was invited to the feast, and the people were able to feel the joy of the father. Certainly, the elder brother can feel it, but all he sees is that the father is using his inheritance in a way that he has never approved of. What he cares about is the father's state, but he doesn't care much about the father's heart. All he cares about what he must have in his hands, not about what his father has in his heart. How come a fatty calf for the man who hasn't contributed much for the family? Meanwhile, even no goat for me. He feels his righteousness is superior to his brother's, and he lacks the emotional humility to say, hey, I'm no different. He instead looks at the sinner and says, hey, I will never do that. See, I'm righteous. And I see that he lacks the wealth of joy of knowing that he is loved and forgiven and blessed by his father. It's literally true when the father says, son, all that is mine is yours. Yes, it's because the father already divided his property between the two sons. The younger son took his share, and now it's all used up. And every single thing now that the father owns is what the elder brother will inherit. To him, the return of his younger brother and the celebrating of a feast means nothing but diminishing his share. This way, the elder brother is also lost, isn't he? He is not home. He is not with the Father. Friends, where do you see of yourself in this story? Are you lost as the younger brother was? Or in the elder brother's way? Have you been more of the younger brother in your thinking and living? Or the elder brother? Are you running from God while you believe that you can find your true self by following your heart and desires? Or by believing that because you follow God's rules, God owes it to you to listen to your prayer and reward you? Let me give you some quotes from the Tim Keller. There are two ways to be your own savior. Just as there were two ways for the sons to try to get control of the father's stuff. He continues, in the same way, there are two ways for us to try to get control of God and the people around us and our own lives. One is by living the way we want, and one is by trying to be very religious and moral, but both may lead to lostness. Both may alienate us from the Father. End the quote. You are here. I'm glad for it. But perhaps, though your body is here, your heart and soul are not home here. Good news is still ours. We are loved by our God, who is prodigal in giving and forgiving, in loving and welcoming us. God waits and searches until we are found. God goes out and pleads with the lost to come. Here I conclude, in the same way as Jesus finished this parable, he ends it without resolution, without letting us know what the elder brother's decision is. This great storyteller, Jesus, ends the story again without resolution, but with a plea, with an invitation. Would you please come, whether you are a younger brother or an elder brother, you need to come. Come home. Come again and again to your Father. Thanks be to God. Amen.